This morning we're going to continue with our Beatitude series, and it's my second message in the series. And I've got a question for you before I begin. You all listening very intently. You all have one life to live, right? And considering we have one life to live, would you like to achieve your destiny in this one life? Yes! Can you say it nice and loud?
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. That's a sound of confirmation. I like that. Your attitude gives shape to your destiny. Everybody say that. My attitude,
my attitude.
Gives shape to my destiny. Never confuse destiny with fate. Fate is the belief that whatever will be, will be. Destiny is what God has for every individual that He has created with a plan and a purpose to achieve something in this world. And if you are still breathing and living, you have not fulfilled or completed your assignment on this earth yet. Isn't that exciting? And no matter how young you are or how old you are, you have an assignment on your life. That assignment is what your destiny is. And if we are to fulfill our assignment, if we are to fulfill our destiny on this earth through this one life that we have to live, then I have learned that our attitude gives shape to our destiny. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is something Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23 addresses. And the fruit of the Spirit is the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. A monk joined a ministry and took a vow of silence. After the first 10 years, his superior called him in and asked him, "Do you have anything to say?" The monk replied, "Food bag." After another 10 years, the monk again had the opportunity to voice his thoughts. And he was called in by his superior and he said, "Bed hard." Another 10 years passes and again he was called in by his superior. Now listen to this very carefully. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, "I quit." "It doesn't surprise me a bit," said his superior. "You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here." Our attitude impacts our entire life. Everything we do, how we do things, why we do things. And at the core of our faith and walk in Jesus Christ is the nature and the characteristics of Jesus that need to be ever present and evident in each of our lives. I'm going to say this again. Your attitude gives shape to your destiny. But listen to this. Let's forget about destiny right now. Your attitude gives shape to every moment of your day. And each moment of your day determines whether you will achieve your destiny. So how I live today, the attitude with which I'm living my life today, has an outcome on my life of tomorrow and eventually whether or not I fulfill my God-given destiny and assignment on this earth. Let me tell you, many, many people go to the grave without having fulfilled their purpose and their destiny. And it is not because of God's inability to work through them, but it is their inability to allow God to work in them. Amen? And I want us at People at Life to be sensitive to the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So as we, when we look back at our lives, 30, 40, 50 years from now, when someone needs to chisel out the epitaph on your gravestone, it'll say, "Here was somebody who lived their life to the full, who loved God, loved people, and loved life, and underline, fulfilled their assignment on this earth. Amen. When you think of destiny, it seems too far away. It's way off. It's a destination, the sweet by and by. But wake up, that's not true. Every thought, every decision, every choice, every willful act of yours and mine that is not Christ-centered leads you away from your destiny. From your waking to your walking to your talking, everything that you do in your everyday life has an impact on your future. The Bible says, what a man sows, he will reap. God is not. But it says something before that. It says, do not be deceived. God is not what? Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Replace that phrase, do not lose heart, with the right attitude. You know, things happen to us in life. We get tired of being Mr. Nice Guy or Mrs. Nice Lady. We get tired of doing good because we sometimes feel like we are taken for granted. How many of you have been on that boat at some point in your life? You kind of want to quit and give up, like that monk and say, I quit. This life is so bad. What his superior did was called out his attitude. He didn't say much in each of those 10 years, three things. But each one of those three things that he said was fueled by an attitude, a thought process in his mind that was contrary to what Jesus would have wanted him to think and behave like. The moment he was given the opportunity to voice his thought, he said, bed bad. The moment he was given the opportunity to say something, food, no good. The moment he was given the opportunity, I quit. Quitting is never an option for children of God. The Bible calls us to become overcomers, which means we overcome whatever obstacle or hindrance that is causing us to want to quit. Maybe a circumstance in your career, maybe a relationship that you're challenged with, maybe your finances, maybe you're working with things in your own life. Don't ever be like that monk that says, I quit, because he had the wrong attitude. Therefore, Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen. We're called to do good to everybody. And when we don't have the right attitude, one of the things we begin to do is we stop doing, one of the things we begin not to do is we stop being good. You become Mr. or Mrs. Nasty. You know it. I've seen it in people. You bring a little bit of correction in their life, and they don't like it. And you meet them the next week and it's like, where they normally say, good morning, so pleased to see you. They give you the cold shoulder and move on with life. What is that? It's attitude. It's them not liking what somebody said or did to them, and therefore they respond with a negative approach to life. So how should you be sowing in the Spirit? When you live your life with a higher godly set of values. Everybody say values.
Values.
You are able to walk in greater victory. What is it? When I have a higher set of godly values, I am able to walk in victory. We find these values in the book of Galatians and in the Beatitudes that Jesus taught in the book of Matthew. When we embrace these virtues of Christ and these principles, we experience the powering of God in our lives. But to embrace them firstly means you must know them. And then, having known them, we are now responsible for allowing them to become part of who we are, our everyday living, walking, breathing person of who we are. Now, I know none of us can be the perfect, none of us can carry the virtues of Christ perfectly, but we must be willing to be transformed. One of the reasons most believers fail to live by faith is not because they don't have the capacity to, but it is that they lack something. And you know what they lack? It's called maturity. You might have been in church for 20 years, but if you still behave like a little child, you have not matured in your faith. And maturity comes through trials and testing. Maturity comes to us going through difficult times and keeping the compass of our heart and our lives focused in on Christ and maintaining that right attitude. Because our attitude shapes your destiny. And if my attitude begins to go off center, if it loses its connectivity with Christ, I am no longer heading towards the purpose and the plans that God has for me. I'm veering away from what God has for me. And it has pained me over the years as we have pastored literally thousands of people in different parts of the world to watch those people with the right attitude grow and flourish and become everything that God intended for them to be. And boy, did they go to hard times. And were there times you were wishing that God was not allowing what was happening in their life, the trials, the testings, the illness, the financial challenges, the relational challenges. But as they pushed through and as they focused in on Jesus Christ, you as an overseer can sit back and celebrate and see how the right attitude in that individual's life allowed them to overcome the most difficult of circumstances and situations. And they became victorious in their lives. Amen. When you live your life by a higher godly set of values, you are able to walk in greater victory. When we hold on to small-minded attitudes of selfishness and selflessness and complaining, we can never grow to a level of maturity that enables us to overcome. Come on. Do you want to be somebody who is overcome, or do you want to be an overcomer? Same word, different emphasis. Here at Life, each one of us is being trained to be overcomers. Amen? Through the ministry of the word, through what you go through in life, to how we lead and guide you, to how we relate to one another, how the one another is aspects of life encourage us and teach us to be overcomers. None of us is going to quit. None of us is going to give up, no matter how difficult life is going through for you. Your capacity to overcome is developed in you by your willingness to surrender to the will and the ways of Jesus Christ. What is it? By my willingness to surrender to the will and the ways of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 to 2 says this: do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, so many believers say, how do I know what the will of God is for me? How do I know when God wants me to do something or not? You know, you don't need to ask me that question if you've renewed your mind. If you've allowed the Word of God, and if you've understood the principles and the virtues of God, and you've allowed them to renew your mind, you already have the answer. But when I have not allowed God's Word to renew my mind, when I'm still conformed to the pattern of this world, in other words, I'm still living in this world, believing I'm saved, believing I'm transformed, and I haven't changed my ways through renewed thinking, I'm not able to understand the will of God for my life. But when I allow the Spirit of God to work in me, as I read His Word, as I listen to His Word, as I listen to messages like this, and I am transformed and I renew my mind, my attitude is changed. It becomes more and more like that of Jesus Christ. And I reposition myself from being conformed to this world, but being in this world, but transformed. Amen. We cannot escape this world. Jesus never said, go be a light on a mountaintop. He said, in darkness, be light. He said, where there is no flavor, be salt. I want to illustrate something. Would you mind bringing that for me, please? I'm going to illustrate something for us to understand. I want you to understand that God's ways are much higher than our ways. Now, I want you to assume that this is you. This is you, and in here is water that I have taken from the tap. And I might let you know that the water from the tap is from a well. So it is unfiltered and unpurified. Now, how many of you would drink this water confidently? This is you, before you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Your life is full of impurities. What is it? It's water, it looks good. But when you really look at it, it is impure. This is Jesus Christ, purified, pure. And as you come to faith in Jesus Christ, what happens? He begins to pour His Holy Spirit in you. And can you see the transformation of the impurities becoming pure? As more of Christ comes into you, what begins to happen? It changes. There is a transformation. And as the blood of Jesus redeems you, and as His Word renews you, and the Spirit of Christ is beginning to work in your life, what's happening to you? All the impurities that were in you have been transformed by the and the renewing of His Spirit in you. Amen? Can you see that transformation? Now, is there any impurity in you? Why? Because the nature of Jesus Christ has been overcome. The nature of Jesus Christ has flooded. The Spirit of God is overflowing in your life. And as the Spirit of God continues to flow in your life, what happens to your life? You begin to? And when you're overflowing, what's overflowing? What's overflowing? Impurities? The Spirit of God. Amen? Do not conform any longer to this world, but be transformed by the of your mind. There is a supernatural work of God that has to do with our spirit, but there is the partnership that we have with the Spirit, where we decisively choose to renew our minds and to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to begin to transform us, so we look less and less like ourselves and more like Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, who wants a drink of this? Jesus' Sermon on the Mount sets the tone and the ideal for us as believers and disciples of Jesus. And it talks about the rewards, both present and future. The blessedness that the Beatitudes are about is beyond what this world can offer, and therefore its reward is a heavenly reward and is therefore diametrically opposed to those of our culture and the world that we live in. The Beatitudes, each of them begins with the word blessed are those, Jesus says. The Greek word translated blessed means happy, blissful, or literally to be enlarged. It refers to a state of spiritual well-being and prosperity. What is it? It refers to a state of spiritual well-being and prosperity. Now the prosperity is this, and the spiritual well-being is this. He opened his mouth, it says, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Oh, if I have very little money in my life and I'm very poor, then the kingdom of God is my wrong interpretation. It's talking about spiritual things. When you acknowledge the poverty that you live in spiritually, and you acknowledge that you need the love and the saving grace of God in your life, when you acknowledge that, when you are poor in spirit, what is it? For theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen. When we acknowledge in all humility that we cannot make life without the work of Jesus Christ, we are walking in the poverty of spirit. But when we do, we open our lives to the reward, which is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, I need to be mournful as a believer. Don't crack any joke. Just walk around. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Crack a joke? No, it's unholy for me to laugh. My God, Jesus wants you to laugh your guts out. But he's talking about an attitude where even though we have been through challenges and we will mourn, even though we will go through times of hardship, what does it say? They will be comforted. Know in your challenges and your times of deep mourning, that whatever they may be for each of you, that you are comforted because you are blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not those who are mournful. When you're mournful, you're not blessed. You're a drag. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, if I walk around saying, "I'm nobody, I'm nobody, I'm nobody, I'm nobody, I'm meek." No, you're not. You have low self-esteem, and we need to fix that. Meek is an attitude of acknowledging who God is and recognizing who you are in the sight of an almighty God, and acknowledging that as you walk in meekness and dependency on God, what will you do? You will inherit the earth. That's the reward. But if you walk around like a hot shot, God says, the pride will fall, the humble he will exalt. Amen. Meekness is an attitude of humility that is not fueled by low self-esteem. It is fueled by a strong identity of knowing who you are, but choosing to be humble. Amen. Just like Jesus did, and we learned last week. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. As we hunger for the things of Christ, as we hunger for his word and hunger to live our lives righteously, you will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In all of our dealings with people, be merciful for goodness sake. If the auto driver wants an extra 2 rupees, give it to him. It's only 2 rupees. Unless it's your last 2 rupees and you need it to go on. If you go to a restaurant, be merciful to the people who serve you. And be kind and tip them if they served you well. Be merciful to those people that you have leadership over in how you deal with them and how you treat them. The same mercy that was shown to you that you never deserved, God unreservedly gave you of all of His goodness and glory. So be that way with the people that you lead that are working and serving in your homes and in your lives. Bless them and be merciful towards them. Forgive those that hurt you. Pray for your enemies. Lift up those who are downtrodden. Look out for the injustices and stand for righteousness and justice in every given situation. Amen. Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Allow our lives to be transformed by the inner working of the Holy Spirit as you draw near to God in worship, as you draw near to God through His Word, as you draw near to God in the fellowship of His people and in God's presence. Allow your life to be transformed and allow your heart to be purified to the work of Jesus Christ in your life. And when you do that, you shall see God. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. God is not talking about people who keep the peace. There are some people that are great at keeping the peace. Shh, don't say anything. Shh, don't say anything. No, he's upset. She's upset. That's not being a peacemaker. That's being a peacekeeper. We are not called to be peacekeepers. Shh, 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 don't. We are called to be peacemakers. We transform places where there is conflict. We transform the conflict in our own lives. Where there is a conflict in our own lives, we allow peace to have its predominance in our lives. When we are situations with people where there can be strife, we choose to be at peace with one another. And when we do that, we become peacemakers. Peacekeeping is very tiring. Listen and to the UN and the millions of dollars they spend to keep the world at peace. What the world needs is peacemakers. In your home, be a peacemaker. Set the course for peace. When there is a spark and an opportunity for conflict, choose resolution. Not give as good as you get, as tempting as it is. Instead, go for resolution. And amen. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are you when you reveal you when others reveal you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If we could allow these virtues of Christ to be ever present in our everyday living, if we could allow the fruit of the Spirit to overtake our lives and become who we are, we transform our very beings and we transform and shape our destiny. And we are able to fulfill what God has called us to do. Empower your minds with thoughts that are out of this world. Can you say that? I want to empower my mind with thoughts that are out of this world. In other words, think differently. When all of this world is thinking, oh look, you won't make it through this week. Oh, the economy is so bad. Oh my goodness. Think, you know what? I'm going to think higher thoughts. I'm going to think godly thoughts about my life. I'm going to think higher thoughts about, oh, have you met that lady? She is, oh, oh my goodness, you don't want to, oh my God, have you met him? Oh my goodness. No, higher thoughts about one another. We, all of us, are weak in some way. Have higher thoughts about one another. Because when you do, you are obeying the Spirit of God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Amen. When we set our values higher, when we set our thinking like Jesus wants us to think, when we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives and to transform us and to make Him more and more like Jesus, we are able to do what God has called us to do. Amen. We will achieve our assignment. You will fulfill your purpose and your destiny on this earth, no matter what you go through. One life to live. Let's live it well, and let's live it knowing that whatever it takes, I am going to fulfill my assignment on this earth. Because I have the right attitude. Amen.